is here if it hasn't been for 2,000 years. We thank you, Lord, for your people who gathered here, Lord, to learn of you and to worship you thereby correctly, understanding and knowing their position in you, the sonship which has been granted, Lord, and the complete vindication, not of ourselves, Lord, but of you, Father, which we're grateful. And we thank you, Lord, for being able to sing the songs of Zion and not just make merry in our hearts, though that is good, but to actually be thrilled in our souls, Lord, and to give forth to you, giving back what you have already given us, which we appreciate that we can do that, making us a peculiar people. We appreciate that so much. Help us now in our further studies to know your word. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now we're into number 26 of Satan's Eden. And of course, as we study this and we'll begin reading, I think, a fair amount today, at least hopefully, we'll be noticing that Brother Branham seems to be speaking to individuals rather than perhaps the church as a whole, because he's referring to Eve, and then he's drawing the fact of conduct as it is today. And you can sort of forget that way quite easily. The Brother Branham said there are two large great signs in the world that we should watch. Number one, Israel gives us the time we're in, which is the calendar, and the woman, which gives us the condition of the church. So as we're contemplating what Brother Branham said concerning Eve, of which he speaks very, very much, but he refers it to this day, the church and hour in which we live, we must never, ever forget what he said in 2 Corinthians, where Paul said, "I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you," that's that church of the first church age, "to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Now you will notice that he says here, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Now you notice here that Paul the Apostle said, "I have espoused you to one husband, but girl, you've had two." That's just Eve all over again. Now the espousal that he gave to this woman church, the Eve of the first century, was to Christ the head, who literally became the manifested mind of God. Exactly. Now, we're talking then of headship, which lies in the mind, of which Paul claimed he had the mind of God for the bride. Somebody else comes along, and this is Satan, who has transformed himself into an angel of light, becoming the mentor of the virgin bride of the first church age. Even as he became the virgin bride, the groom of the virgin bride Eve, in the first church age of the Old Testament, there in the Garden of Eden, or that very start. And he did it by the beguiling of her mind before he got her into the actual act of seduction, wherein there was a perversion, because she belonged to Adam and not to the beast. And you'll notice that this church that Paul is addressing, he has already addressed them in the 1 Corinthian epistle, where he showed that their actions were commensurate with their headship, and they were in adultery. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, now keep that in mind as we study. Because if you don't keep that in mind, you may have some problems. Now, in paragraph 64, 74, I beg your pardon, where Brother Branham is speaking of Eve listening to Satan's gospel of theology, having previously said how she lusted for knowledge, I would consider what Brother Branham has said here to mean that her natural or inherent desire as an intelligent creature, able to learn and supposed to learn, was unduly aroused to a wrong acquisition of learning. That's true. It wasn't that she was told not to learn. Actually, she had to learn, being under the headship of Adam. But she was warned there were certain things that she was not to use her God-given innate talents to a particular direction. This woman then had a burning or unwarranted desire that inflamed her to press beyond her position because she felt that she had the capacity to receive and the character and the wisdom to handle it. That's right, she did. Look where that took Cain. What started as an innocent woman being beguiled within one generation produced an arrogant, defiant creature who came right up to God and defied him. Now, that's tight. Do you think the church was any different? No different. Because the very people that the church produced by that early church going into sin, her children, rose up against the true vine to destroy it. You see what we're talking about? Satan encouraged Eve to enter into this realm of knowledge, but that was contrary to what God had said. So she disobeyed and thereby caused these problems. Now, this in itself, which I have just mentioned and read to you, is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The ability to learn was good. There's nothing wrong with you having intelligence, being clever, being able businessmen, able physicians, to have ability beyond many people, to have learning in excess of many people. There's nothing wrong with that actual ability. But you will notice that ability which she had to learn was at that time good. It was good because it was under control of a sovereign God who had given her a sovereign husband, which spelled sovereignty all the way through. But in her learning, she could also absorb evil and consequently practice it. Now, you can see this, as I already mentioned, Cain. 1 John 3. And it says here, verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now notice what he said. He said, there is somebody here that is born of God. And according to the man who wrote this, and this is more doctrinal in a sense of a doctrine beyond the gospel, although the first chapter is highly doctrinal, he said the sons of God were not born after the will of man, the will of the flesh, or the will of blood, but of God. So, whatever else you may think, and at this point you'll have to bring your thinking under control, that somehow you, when you say my eyes, my hands, my hair, my this, my that, that you is a literal soul that came from God. Amen. Now that's tough, because modern theology does not allow for it. And John is saying, whosoever is born of God cannot commit sin, and that is exactly true. Because if there is an issuing forth from God, it cannot be sin. Or God is a devil. Now you're all messed up, like people say, well, you see, God is, he's God, he's both God, he's both good and evil. God is God and God's a devil. That sounds sort of stupid, doesn't it? I sure don't think my wife is female and masculine. Gee, if she was, she'd have got booed out a long time ago. People think the stupidest things. They can't even relate truth to what's going on here. I just marvel that God has got grace to this point. His seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Now in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now, this is a complete, definitive statement. Now, what am I going to do about it? At this point, this definitive statement means nothing except absolute confusion. Now, he illustrates. For this is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another based upon the fact that the seed of God does not sin and loves a brother. What? Brothers. Two brothers. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. Then he was not the seed of God. Because God is not wicked. And though there was a perversion, Adam was compliant with the commandment and the provision of God when he begat by Eve Abel. Right? Adam was a son of God and in the image of God. The Bible says so. So, Abel is the one born of God. And they are both brothers in the flesh. And Cain slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. And this is a picture of an act of worship. I'm telling you something. There was no fellowship between Abel and Cain. They came from the same womb. They came from the same earth, but they had different fathers. They were only half-brothers. But they were brothers nonetheless. And this one could not do wrong, and the other could not do right. Now, you believe it, you don't believe it. Because I say every single time, heaven is in your grasp and hell is in your grasp. Which one do you want? It's up to you. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you categorically exactly what this book says. Simple as ABC. One twin is of God, the other is not of God. Two boys. Same mother, different fathers. Adam Clark knew that only too well. But he didn't understand the rest of it. Now notice, in verse 13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Who's the world? Cain. What is he doing? He is worshiping God. Fallaciously. Yet based upon the same scripture in the stars and the same revelation given to both of them. And the scripture says, thou hast offered a good offering. That tells us in Hebrews. There was a better offering offered by Abel, a good offering offered by Cain. Now the Bible said, thou hast correctly offered, but not rightly divided. There was a wrong division with Eve. The command was, propagate. But the warning was, watch how you propagate. And she blew it. There you see the tree of the knowledge, good and evil, correctly. She had an ability to learn it was good. But in her learning, she could also absorb evil and consequently practice it, which she did in Genesis, and we saw the results in 1 John 3:10, which stands before the church today. Now let's go to the book of Proverbs, and we're going to see these things here laid out before us. And I just should read them quite rapidly to get back to Brother Branham's sermon notes because of the background I've given you for it. In Proverbs, it says in the 4th chapter, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake you not my law." In other words, don't go away from what I'm telling you, because that's the doctrine. "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, let my commandments live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth." That's like the book of Kings, remember? "Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. You see, in other words, the book, the Bible here, is distinctly a book of wisdom, but without true revelation, you cannot understand it. It's just like science today are messing everything up because they can break down the atom, they can do splicing of genes and everything else they want, and they're just going to blow everything higher than a kite. They've already started to do it. "Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings. The years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away." In other words, you're not to even pass by it. You're to take a long way away from anything which is contrary to the Word of God. All right. With that, we can go to Genesis, the 6th chapter, and notice the condition of the world in the first 7 verses. "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took the wives of all which they chose." Now it tells you here that the multiplication of the so-called human race was with Cain far in advance numerically than they were under Seth. Now what happened? You will see that these people were beautiful, just the same as the serpent was beautiful. He was far superior, you might say, to a man, although looking almost identical to a man. And if anyone is going to make a woman's heart go pity, pity, pat, that fellow was going to make Eve's heart pity, pity, pat more than Adam. And that's exactly what happened. So they produced beautiful, voluptuous women. Now, the true human race, the children of light, the seed of Adam, were so far now deteriorated by reason of not staying exclusively with the Word of God, they now begin looking at these women out here and lusting, and they entered into the blighted polygamy. Now you got a real messed up race. You got these women here that cannot pass on the true genes because there's a lot of serpent in them. See? In fact, at this particular time, there is only one true human being left genetically, and that is Noah. And that's exactly what the Bible says. He was the only man perfect in his generation, and that means genetically. Okay. Now, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh." Now notice, my spirit will not strive with man because of the reason I put him in a body of flesh. God is still separating the flesh from the spirit. This everybody gets so confused by the Bible. David, the man after God's own heart, 500 wives or 499 and lusting after Bathsheba, taking her, committing adultery, having a baby by her, and killing the woman's husband. So right, well, you say, well, at that time he was not a real son of God. He wasn't a man after God's own heart. You're liars. I'm not championing sin. I'm championing the Word. I simply don't care what our flesh says, our instincts. Now, I'm not saying I simply don't care as though I'm an overcomer. I'm preaching the truth, whether I believe it, endorse it, and indulge it or not. My stand is, as a Christian, basically, there was not one change in the man. He had to pay the price for what he did. But he was a man after God's own heart. He knows every single time rebuke, he stood right up and took his medicine like a man. He was a man after God's own heart. Now he said, my flesh, I will not always strive because this is a flesh condition. I've got to take care of it. So I'm going to destroy the whole bunch. There were giants in the days. Now let's verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man grow as great in the earth, and that every imagination, that's reasonings, of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord says the whole thing has gone into a mess. And it was grievous to him. They had allowed the flesh to supersede the true revelation of God. Now, it was only in the flesh that they could supersede the revelation of God. That's right. Had they remained in a spirit body, there was no way they would have superseded the revelation of God. But now they're open to it. And foolishly, they allow what the cosmos system of the Cainites developed because they were skillful, articulate, and creative people in the material sense of the word. The others were humble shepherds and farmers. And I'm going to tell you something. If you ever make the millennium, don't think you're going to have a car. Or be like this crazy Hagopian guy who thought he had visions, and the millennium was like a big plastic bubble, and if you want, you know, air conditioned, and if you wanted to go somewhere, you stood in the telephone booth, and you cranked it, and you were there. You're going to be farmers. So you better get your fingers ready for the green thumb, or you're going to be out of place. You better forget the little things you like here and you think are so wonderful. And start getting in tune with nature. And I'm not talking of something stupid and silly. I'm talking what's even typed in Canaan, where God gave everyone a farm, and the Bible said every man's going to be under his own fig tree and over under his own vine. Now, if you don't like figs, you better create an appetite for them. I'm just kidding, of course. I'm letting you know this, that it's not what you think it is or somebody else. That we're going to go from step to step until we got a greater and more wonderful mechanical age. There is not going to be a fan whirling in the ceiling. There's not going to be a light bulb. There's not going to be a car. There's not going to be a refrigerator. Thank God. You can't even get service now. God's not going to service that kind of hogwash and nonsense. See? It grieved God at his heart. In other words, this is something that God has not planned, and therefore God is not going to establish, but he's going to disestablish it. That's right. Exactly what he said. I'll destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the serpent and the creeping thing and the fowl of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. In other words, God says here now, I've got to do something about this situation, and therefore I'm going to do it, which he most certainly did. All right, let's go to James, the 3rd chapter. Now remember, the book that we are discussing, which is the Bible, is a revelation from God and becomes a complete history of what God did and what he said and what man did and how he answered back to God. So we're looking at this thing as the family of God, the enemy sowing tares, and we're looking at the behavior and what has happened and what is happening. So the 3rd chapter of James, beginning at verse 8, but the tongue no man can tame, it's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after similitude to God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessings, out of the same mouth proceed the blessing and the cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Doth a fountain send forth the same place bitter water and sweet? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries and a vine figs? So no fountain can yield both salt and fresh. Who is wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of the good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envyings and strife in your heart, glory not, and lie not against the truth. Now that's, you see, what Cain and Abel's problem here, especially Cain's. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Now listen, Cain took everything from the Bible. You're looking at it. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for them that make peace. Now, I was telling you right here, again, the story of Cain and Abel. Cain was the brawler. He was the fighter. He was the arguing fella. Abel was the gentle one, likened to a sheep. The sheep hear my voice and they follow me. The sheep are not fighters, although they will protect themselves as best they can in order to survive. God never told any man, when persecution comes, go on down and offer yourself to get burned. He said, if they persecute you in this city, go to the next and I'll take care of that city in the right time. God never told anybody act like a fool. Abel never stood there and said, now Cain, if you like, take this rock and bump me on the head or cut my jugular vein, which is exactly what the scripture teaches. He took a jagged rock and crushed his jugular vein, ripped it open. And the fella died there in his own blood. And you can't find one place where Abel came back against him. And you won't find either where God instituted instant judgment. He couldn't kill Cain, of course, he killed the serpent seed. God had already had a word. God had to back up his own word, which God does on every single occasion. So no matter how things look like, remember, God will back up his word. He said, I stand behind my word to perform it. I have exalted my word above my name. And people pray all the time in Jesus' name and want some kind of an answer. Then they defy the word. That's why they're false anointed. Now, everything is so simple and so clear if you just believe the Bible. The way the prophet taught it, not the way I teach it. Now, let's go back to the book of Matthew. And we'll see this picture again we're talking about. It's in Matthew 7 and 15 to 23. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep clothing, but verily, inwardly, they're ravening wolves. Now, what is a false prophet? It's a man who shows signs and wonders, according to Deuteronomy 13, and the people marvel, then he takes them off the word. Now, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? The same thing James is saying. So what was James saying? Wisdom is repeating what God said about anything and any condition. You say, that's a toughie. Can't be all that tough. How many things are really tough? Well, you say in marriage, I got a hard-boiled wife. How does the Bible say to treat her? Well, my husband's not so. How does the Bible say to treat her? I got a bad thing down here. What does the Bible say about it? Just not all that hard. People make it hard, the same as Eve did, by leaning out to catch something else. Is there another remedy? Is there another path? Is there another process? The Bible warns us that God is one and his ways are one. Neither he or his ways change. Which, bless God, I can change God's ways. Oh, no, you can't. You can live outside the word and go your own way, but you'll run against it at the white throne. There's no way. See, now he said here, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Who was the corrupt tree? Cain was. Who was a good tree? Abel was. The devil said to Eve, I'll make you prophets. They already were prophets in their own right, talking face to face with God. Why, he said, I'll make you equal with God. They already were. The firstborn son already has 50% of the possessions. You talk about being sold a bill of goods. There's a con game today. It's pulled on usually women, although some men are just as stupid. I'm just saying that because it's the truth. Because men know a little bit more about the con game. But they'll trap a poor woman and they'll say, listen, we are from the FBI. There's a scam going down here at the bank and we're here to catch it. Now, what we want you to do is withdraw your money from the bank and you put in this purse here and they this little con game and the woman thinks she's doing a big favor or she's seduced into believing she's going to get a lot of money. And when she gets her purse back on the switch, it's full of shredded paper and they got her $5,000 or $10,000. Satan did the same thing to Eve. Why, he said, I'll show you how it's done. He robbed her of her virginity, spoiled her marriage, brought about an interruption. What a horrible thing. Why? Because she let her mouth follow Satan's mouth that brought forth salt water. That's right. He says right here, can a corrupt tree bring forth evil, good fruit? No. Was it able for the devil to give the word right? No. Was it able for Cain? No. Can the church outside of the bride bring forth a correct word? And the answer is no. Now what's the false prophet? By your fruits you'll know them. Now there's two kind of fruits. One is the word itself, which is correctly given and interpreted, and the other is a manifestation of the word, which are signs and wonders following the word, but not signs and wonders that precede the word, bringing vindication. There's a big difference. For a prophet, these signs shall go before the word. When a prophet come in the name of the Lord, and the thing comes to pass, you listen to him. But signs that follow the word are different. Listen to them. Many will come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? That's a gift of the Spirit. Have we not cast out devils? That's another gift. In thy name, wonder works? That's another. And he'll say, I never ever knew you. Because these people did not take the vindicated, the vindication that preceded the giving of the word. That's what you see there in that picture. The vindication preceding it. Now, Pentecost, they can have any number of signs following the word. But there's a difference. There you see a picture. Let's go to Luke. The second chapter. All these things relate to what I'm saying. The woman. The woman that got food. She stepped outside. She wanted knowledge. She wanted this. She wanted that. Luke 2:46. Came to pass after 3 days, they found Jesus in the temple sitting in the midst of doctors, both hearing them and asking questions. And all that heard him were astonished, said he's understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. That's Mary and Joseph. His mother said, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I sought thee sorry. And he said, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? They understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. Now listen. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, if Jesus could learn and increase in wisdom, stature, and knowledge, there's nothing wrong with it. You get people right today say, Brother Branham did not believe in education, and they go around so stupid and so ignorant they stink to high heaven in my books. They are gross. They are boorish. Yeah. Surely, where a true child of God is gross or boorish. And he prates about his ignorance and lack of knowledge as though it were something. Then why did Jesus go that route? Why did God even give him access to a superior knowledge? Because they said, hey, this boy doesn't even know learning in books. Oh, look at his brilliant mind. Look at his knowledge. The tree of the knowledge, good and evil, and the evil part is what you do with the good part. And Cain took the good part. which was the first fruit offering as far as I understand. But Brother Branham did say, and I know it's correct, that he was saying, well, it was the fruit, not sex in the garden. Whatever you want to put it. It's off the word, patently off the word. Taking the good and perverting it. That always has been, in my understanding, always will be. Now let's look at 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. And we're still looking at the woman. Now, she's supposed to follow the steps of Jesus. So, there is a knowledge, a wisdom, that is incumbent upon the church. Does the Bible say, my people perish from lack of knowledge? And John the Baptist came before Jesus to give the right knowledge. And at the end time, Elijah must come and give the right knowledge. So it is not knowledge per se, as though that were a dangerous thing. It is as Eve was lusting after a knowledge based upon true knowledge, but off the mark. Now that's your church. They will quote you the Bible left and right. There is no church today that doesn't quote it. Okay, we're reading, I hope. 3rd chapter, 2nd Timothy. Know this also. This know also. In the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those who are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. See, lusted after naughty. I can prove it. Ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They will investigate every spurious thing under high heaven. They will take every lead, except that lead right there. You want to know the truth? I just gave it to you. There it is in a nutshell. They will lust. You know what you're trying to do? Pardon the vernacular. So you get a sunk right in your heart. They're trying to beat the racket. In other words, they're trying to beat God, who has a stacked deck of cards. He's not going to back down. He's read every hand the human race has ever held, dealt with it, and tried to play cards with God. He doesn't have to be hypnotized so he'll remember it. He knows it. He knows every play the human race has ever made and ever will make. He's already written it in a book and warned us. The omniscient God. Man thinks he's playing with a stacked deck of cards because he's a little smart up here. He ain't half as smart as he thinks he is. And as the old Dutch philosophy, you know, you're over there in Pennsylvania. Too soon we're old, too late we're smart. That's right. You're going to find, as this age ends, they were stupid. Just the same as Gorbachev and the Russians. 70 years of abject misery. Living under worse conditions than what they tried to get away from. Had they taken a peaceful recourse, like some nations are doing today, they could have deposed the czars and had a democracy. But they listened to the battle cry of the devil to shed blood. Come against the entire word of God. Although it was very little over there. As though that would solve things. It solved nothing. And they're back to square one now. Only it's worse. It's true. Having a form of godliness. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so did these resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. The church at the end time will produce all manner of gifts and indications which follow the word. But they've turned away from the vindication that proves what is the word. Now, you tell me they're not smart? PhD. LLD. They got every letter. They're not only PhDs in the philosophy of the world and religion. They're PhDs in science, and they're smart, clever men with their bachelor science, their master science, and they say, listen, I've been touched by God. Hallelujah. I know what it is to be born again. I'm going to quit my job and go preaching, and they're no more qualified to preach than Satan. Satan is qualified to preach on the grounds that he wanted to preach, and he did, and he will. And he's ordained his angels of light. And they're doing it. And they have their dark robes and their white robes and everything else. It is seen here that we have been given minds, M-I-N-D-S, and with them the freedom of thought. And yet we are admonished, as in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So let's go to it. And here's what it says. Beginning at verse 1, ending at 6. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in the presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. And that's another evil, see? But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. In other words, he's saying, some of you guys just think I dreamed up this message I've been teaching. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. He said, yeah, I'm a human being just like you. Now, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They have nothing to do with my body, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds. First of all, casting down every understanding and reasoning that I had in my mind, it went. He says in Philippians, I count it but dung. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, to stand with, they take the stand with the vindicated word of God and say, that's it, do with me what you want. But don't try to infringe on my freedom. Now they'll kill you to change your mind. If they think they can get away with it, they'll do it. Do you look on the outward appearance? What are you judging by, he said? Outward appearance? If any man trust himself to be Christ, let him think of himself, this again, that even as he is Christ, even so are we also Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of authority, which the Lord has given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should be a saint. That's what they hate about Brother Branham. He came with the authority of Almighty God to build up the people, and they said, who is this whippersnapper jerk? Kentucky hillbilly that hasn't even got past the seventh grade. Who is he to tell us anything? Drop dead, stupid. That's right. And the women turned on him. Couldn't stand him. They laughed in his face when he told them what the truth was. Now there's the picture Brother Branham is talking about happening in the garden. She put off the mind of Christ one way. Word! You say, Brother Dale, how can I have the mind of Christ? Through that man, vindicated. So I beg to disagree. No problem. I'm glad you do. That makes me happier. You know, listen, don't take me wrong. I told you for years, there's no way these preachers believe the presence as I do, or I've got a wrong understanding. Right today, it comes right back. After all the years I've told you, it is now merely a doctrine, and it's a minor at that. Oh, we covered that in an hour and a half. That is a picture of a being called Elohim. The Roman Catholics want to worship something, they ought to get a hold of that. They're stupid virgins and things that cry, and pictures on screen doors, and Fatimas, and Lourdes, and all the rest is a bunch of humbug. Except for one reason, believing it is God, you can even go to witch doctor and get help. Not trying to hurt you, it's just the truth. Paul warned us that if we live in the Spirit, we ought to walk in the Spirit. Let's go to Psalm 119. That's a nice, big, long psalm that's a beauty. And in verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. going to the first few verses of the book of Psalm. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. In other words, you never go wrong with the Word. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. How can anybody worship and praise God outside the Word? I want to know. It is what they call will worship. Now, that's a man-made phrase in theology, but it's all right. Listen, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to Thy Word. Read the book of Proverbs, you'll find, keep yourself from the wrong woman. I tremble today for you young people bringing up families. I tremble for you. I thank God I don't have the job you had. You wonder why I warn and hit and talk in the pulpit. Some say, well, Lee Vail's dirty. He talks that vulgar language. I'm going to talk it and keep warning you. You are responsible for your children, and they are about to be wiped out. And everybody encourages your children to go to hell, to go to women, to do anything they want. They encourage, and they'll even draw you into courts for it. You're going to pay for it. You've only got one thing. Present them to God and drill them with the truth of the Word of God at this hour and the sins and things that are going on. Weave back and forth in Scripture the way I do. Take your time with them. And if they go off, they'll either come back or they were predestined to go to hell anyway. They're out of your hands. You cannot stand in judgment for your children only under one condition. You didn't teach them. You're a free moral agent, so are your children. How am I going to bring my kids up? How are they going to keep their way clean? They got to know this Word. Pay attention to it. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. This man says, with my whole heart. But he said, I could be tricked. See, this man was aware, under influence of the Holy Ghost, speaking as a man. David was speaking as a man here. And he knew the problems. Then he said, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against You. He did sin just the same. You'll never get past the flesh. Brother, sister, let's get this flat. I said it when young David Kowalski was buried. No man except Christ ever lived the Word. But all of us can believe it. That's where your faith is. Once you start believing, you can go from there. This lust for knowledge has become legitimatized by the church. So legitimatized by the church that even those we think of as very fundamental and word conscious and word oriented can't tell where to stop and never can come to Romans 4, 17 to 22. There's no way they can get this far because this is the end time. As the Son is about to come back in flesh to the bride, as it's written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things not as though they were, who when hope was gone, hoped on in faith, that he might become what God said he already was. According to that which is spoken, so shall thy seed be, and being not weak in faith, he said, forget my body. It's dead anyway. Who cares two bits about Sarah? She's dead. I've already done my staggering about my body and her body and everybody's comments. The whole thing's shot. So bless God, live or die, sink or swim. Here I come, father of nations, by Sarah. Yes, sir. Stood right there and proclaimed it. One morning, he woke up and saw this beautiful young lady. And she saw this handsome young man. And they were able to bring forth children. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving God the glory, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Therefore, it was imputed him righteousness. Now listen to me. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a message, vindicated through a prophet, saying the coming is at hand. Ready to raise the dead. absolutely vindicated. We, like Abraham, stand there and said, absolutely, we, the bride, will bring forth Jesus Christ into human flesh. That is the incarnation. I'm not talking now about God manifesting himself in human flesh in the ministry of the Son of Man, as Brother Branham said countless times, him being revealed, him being manifested, this is that appearing. I'm not saying that. I'm telling your response and my response to it. Ah, they say, this stuff bless God. Don't talk to me about, thus saith the Lord, Pentecost had that all the time. That's alive in the pit of hell. Oh, this is pillar of fire stuff. Why, there was a guy, his name was Souders, and he's the original guy that started the Sons of the Prophet, the Schools of the Prophet. And don't you know Brother Branham went down there? Brother Branham told me he didn't go down there. Said angel God stopped him going. Now, they're trying to tell you this fellow here was the guy that invented all the phrases that Brother Branham uses, such as nothing outside this message to come to life. I want to tell you, nothing outside of Luther came to life, nothing outside of Wesley came to life, and nothing outside of this comes to life. Well, I could give you a lot of history, don't worry. There's enough doubts, bless God, I could go and tell you Tucson was the place where the Indians went to worship. There's all this phenomena there. And I could say Brother Branham was a grandson of a pure Indian woman. And I can make him look like some charlatan. Thus says the Lord. Tells it all. Or I've got some stupid God who backs up the lie of the devil, and he's not worthy to be trusted. Because he lets some jerk go around, thus saith the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ, and come to pass. What kind of a God is that? I don't have that kind of a God. No, I don't have that kind of a God. Because I am not that kind of a man. I can't keep my word many times. Ooh, but I get blazing if you come and tell me I said something I didn't. Or you try to hook me. I'm just a stupid jerk. But don't try to pull that with me and God. I don't have that kind of a God. My God doesn't take a carrot and pull it away while I fall in the ditch. He didn't light a fire and get me to put my hand and see watch it burn. Then laughed you. Fooled you, didn't I? So much for your Pentecost. Your fundamentals. I have a thing to do with them. Imputed. God dealt with Abraham. He interposed himself. He came down and made sure Abraham got this. Abraham, do you believe this? He said, amen, hallelujah. He said, Sarah, I don't have to ask anymore how you feel. Who cares how you feel? I don't care how I feel. I got no feelings anyway, sexually, so what's the difference? They looked at each other. What matter? God said so. How's he going to do it? I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to do it because he said so. He vindicated, thus saith the Lord. And if you stand there, you're beyond even the church. You haven't got your knowledge corrupted. You haven't got your mind filthy. You're not listening to Janus and Chambers. Oh, there's a difference, brother, sister. Don't you ever forget that there's a difference. You've got to get right back to the Apostle Paul's doctrine, the original doctrine that said, in that day we will believe, and that's going to make the difference. Where's your proof? Bunch of scholars sitting around. Hogwash. I wouldn't give you a nickel for the whole bunch of them. The church today exactly was it was in the days of Jesus Christ. There is no difference. Matthew, the 15th chapter. I don't like my own notes better than Brother Branham's, but it just seems I'm taking more time, so you got to forgive me. I'll get back there. Once on the message, I'll just read the whole thing and let it go. I'm covering it anyway. It doesn't make any difference. Chapter 15, but he answered and said, why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? There you are, by your thinking. Here's the word of God, and you're sinning. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. He that curseth father and mother shall let him die. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father and mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest profit by me, and honor not his father and mother shall be free. In other words, they can bypass this like a clever lawyer. Well, the boy really didn't mean to dishonor his father and mother. But you see, this thing was a stake in here, and there's a bigger principle. So we just bypass the word of God for this bigger principle. Oh, it's okay to marry and divorce. That's okay. You won't be committing adultery. Because you see, there's a bigger principle here. It's called love. Come on. You better be careful who you marry. Make sure you get the right one, because you'll never come around here again and say, Brother Vail, I think I made a mistake. Do you think I'd marry again? I tell you, no, you'll never marry again. You're in adultery. Thus have you made the commandments of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy, saying, this people draws nigh me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Nothing in their heart. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now listen, they have no fellowship. What good is their worship? There's no way. The fellowship which is sonship is proven by the word. I don't believe that, they say. Well, they shot it right there. Don't you see, brother, sister, the utter simplicity of saying, look over here in Matthew, the 23rd chapter, verses 34 to 39, is absolutely wonderful. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. That's right today. And some of you killing, crucifying, some scourging your synagogues and persecuting city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, who be stood between temple and altar. Verily I send you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Now listen, that happened back there in 70 A.D. But it says in the book of Revelation, in the Roman Catholic Church, in the World Council system, in her will be found the blood of all martyrs from Abel right down to the very end. Absolutely, thus saith the Lord, that's what it says. Now listen, if he sent them prophets and wise men and scribes, that means exactly what he said. Now what's a prophet? William Branham. What are the wise men? Men that handle the word of God. What are the scribes? Oh, they just hand out the tracts and the literature and all. I'm going to tell you something. Brother Branham brought the word of God. Duplessly saw that the Roman Catholic Church got the Bibles, but they turned down the Revelation. Now, they are accountable because they say, we see, and they're blind according to Revelation chapter 3. Therefore, when they say, we see, their sin remaineth. Jesus said, if you said, we're blind, your sin would not remain. Better watch what you're saying in the pews this morning, brother, sister. You think I hit hard? I'm not here to have a lot of fun hitting hard. It's no pleasure. I think about myself when I preach all these things I preach, because I've got to believe what I'm telling you, or I'm standing here as a hypocrite with a club, and I'm not worthy even coming in the doors. But I'm not a hypocrite. I'm telling you the truth. Listen, let's keep reading. Paragraph 74. Then Satan got Eve to listen to his gospel of theology. Now listen to what he said. She listened to Satan's gospel of theology. Now, learning can come by experience, which has evidence out here in nature. Yes, you can learn by that. But also, because you are a spirit being, two-thirds spirit against one-third flesh, you can pick up voices. You can get a hold of angels. Angels get a hold of you, and don't think it can't, because it happens all the time. And then you get these religions that come out of it. Now, Satan took the form of a creature. In other words, he invaded and took over the beast the same as he took over Judas. The same as he took over the king of Tyre. The same as he'll take over the Antichrist. He was fully able to do it, and he did it. And therefore, Satan, not the serpent, got Eve to listen to his understanding of Godhead. Now, he didn't discuss Godhead. Now, just a minute, Eve, dear. Do you really believe there's a God? What is that stuff you're talking about, meeting God in the garden, this voice and all? He never said one thing about it. He said, yea, hath God said. So, his gospel of theology was contradicting the word of God. Now, there's the thing that Brother Branham is talking about. Not that you know how to fix a car that has fuel injection, which is a terrible expensive job against a poor old carburetor. You know, I used to knock the carburetor all the time and pray for fuel injection, so to speak. But really, you can have a whole lot of trouble. As the paper said the other day, years ago, you could open up the hood and take a screwdriver and open up your the carburetor and hold it apart, and you get your car started on a cold morning. But you overactivate your car on a cold morning, you've got to have a guy haul you in. It may cost you $250 to get the work undone. That makes you think, too. So how smart is smart? very expensive. The smarter we get, the more it costs. You don't believe it? Try to pay the tuition to Harvard University. Try to bull your way into Oxford without some recommendation, fellowship, and scholarship. It ain't easy, kid. Satan got Eve to listen to his gospel of theology, the gospel of knowledge, higher learning, higher ethics, better civilization, higher education, and so forth. And now he didn't get Satan. Satan didn't get Eve at that point with all this. He got her started. And she represents the church. And the church is the medium whereby God will deal with people in order to establish by rebirth his children and training be citizens of the kingdom of God. Now he starts right off here and he said, listen, Eve, hey, you're not thoroughly integrated with nature out here. I've been around a long time. Look, girl, I was here before you. He was. Before she had a body. He had a body. So now he's telling her, listen, I know these things. Now, would you listen to a man came by and said, I don't know the first thing about this carburetor, but I'll tell you how I do it. He said, buzz off, buddy. Two Dumbos in mathematics are equated as 2 squared, which means 4 times, which is 4 times as stupid as 1. Right, brother? That'd be a good equation, wouldn't it? For truth, you know that to be true. Two guys that don't know a thing, brother, it's at least 2 to the 2nd power squared, if not more. You understand what I'm saying? All right. We don't go for that kind of nonsense. But you see, the church does in here. Now, then he got her to stop and listen for a minute to his reasoning, which we are commanded to cast down. Right, that's what Abraham would do. And when he got her to listen, now look here. The church is so-and-so. Now notice he goes right to the church. It's been established for so long. We're one of the oldest in the country. The mayor goes to our church. I don't care what it is, said Brother Branham. If it is against God's word, be against it. That is your enemy. Now, Brother Vale, you don't understand. God loves the sinner, but he hates sin. Oh. Is that a fact? I ask you a question. What is sin? Unbelief. Yeah. Where did unbelief come from? It's a direct contradiction to the revealed or vindicated revealed word as it was in the garden. Then what is your enemy? Your enemy is false teaching and has nothing to do about sin of smoking, raping, killing, assaulting. That's just the attributes that just come out of it. Brother Branham said, your enemy is that which is against God's word. But everybody wants you to get your eyes off of the truth and say, now look, we love this sinner here. Say, now hold a sinner, boy. Do you have anything to do with that? Oh, no, no, no. Well, hey, I got news for you. You are the manifestation of my enemy. Esau have I hated. Cain have I hated. Pharaoh have I hated. Janus and Jambres have I hated. You see, what you're dealing with is not what people try to pin on Brother Branham as though he's running women down. Women merely tell you the condition of the church. And the condition of the church, one word off by Eve, caused every single thing that you see today and will bring a cataclysm upon the earth. But listen, in the stages of that which precedes the cataclysm, the world will be deceived that millions now living will never die. That is a lie. 8 souls. See. Now, you can do what you want, brother, sister, but I'm laying it out here as a prophet laid it out. This is the only way I can go. Now, he said, everything that is for the word is your brother. I want to ask you a question. How many brothers you got sitting here this morning? Now, let's get real quiet. Let's get real sober, because I've been preaching this for years, and I'm hitting it this morning after 8 years of teaching what love is and what it ain't usually, because that's, I'm in the negative. Brother Branham said, how can any man that believes all the word have fellowship with anybody that only believes part of the word? Now, you wonder why a church has three kinds of believers, and why a church like this could have a solid inner core that people wonder about and say, why do you have that solid core? And they may put me down, or some of you down, as being antagonistic or exclusive or something else. It's because certain people will go for the word where others will not go for the word. There'll be a sellout to the word. And any time something comes against the revelation, they say, hold it. Now, that's not hating your brother. That's loving your brother. According to these preachers around here, I'm supposed to sell these guys, oh, I love you, and everything you're doing is right. And the fact that you make Jesus a doctrine, well, hey, that's wonderful. I never thought of that. Well, I can get great acceptance around the world now about the presence. And about the appearing, he's just the doctrine. How nice. Why didn't you take your husband's picture and call in bed and get pregnant by it? Oh, you didn't think I'd be nasty. I'm not nasty. Take his picture and get pregnant by it. Go ahead. Go ahead. Is that tough? Meant to be tough. If you haven't been impregnated by the word of God in which there is life, you haven't got life, because nothing outside the word will come to life. If you don't have it in your body, you'll stay in the grave. Now, you look cross-eyed all you want and hate me, you go ahead, I got no problem. You just go ahead. I don't hate you, I hate none of you. I'm going to hit this word here, because the Bible distinctly says anybody that hates it is of the world and is not a brother. It's separating time, not joining time. You say what you want. I'm with the prophet's word. Let me read it again. Everything that is for the word is your brother. He is a part of you. One word off. Is that a brother? Is your brother there? What if this guy's ignorant? He'll come around. What if he fights it? He's never going to come around. What if he says, Brother Branham, but he's finished. Unless it's a legitimate thing that really puzzles him and he's wondering about it, but he wants to be reconciled. You got to come to the place where if you don't believe it or understand it, that's the real term, understand, and you want to know, and you may never know, you just say, I believe this man had thus saith the Lord. I'm going to listen. Like I said, Brother Branham, is it thus saith the Lord? He said, yes, it is. I said, Brother Branham, I believe it because you said it. I will get the answer from the scripture because I know you to be the prophet of God. 10 years later, I got my answer by divine revelation, and I can take you through the Bible and prove it. But the smart man will never listen to me because he's already said it can't be done. He's already done it by his Hebrew and Greek. And listen, I'm not talking off the top of my head. I am telling you the truth. And I'll meet you now before the white throne, and I'm not afraid when I get there either. Because the students have admitted, you cannot take that word wrath and make it go all through the Bible consistent. But you can if you know the secret. And one is retributive wrath, and the other is an icy cold judgment from the word. There is a difference. There is a difference. You say, Brother Vail, why don't you write a book and tell them? I don't feel led to. Won't do any good anyway. I don't know the Hebrew and Greek. Wouldn't matter if I did. Wouldn't hurt. To enthrone reasoning is to enthrone Satan. That's right. What's the top of your head? Throne room. That's the top.
What's the thing up your brain? The last part of your brain. Without a mind, you're nothing. What mind have you got? To enthrone reasoning is enthrone Satan. This is in the sense of self-will. In that it is apart, A-P-A-R-T, away from true revelation. So, anything that's against the Word of God is your enemy. So therefore, as God is His Word, so Satan is His Word. No difference. Notice, she pulled off the holy veil to see what sex really was. Now don't get, you know, too much involved with the sexual act. It is there because that's what happened when she did it. You see? Notice, she pulled off the holy veil to see what sex really was. And the point is here that this is done physically by most people because they get enticed by it. They cannot wait for marriage and do not confine it to marriage, which means Eve was deceived by the beast into an act which was legitimate but not with him. And therefore, having got to her first, she was actually the person who should have been divorced by Adam, but because of who she was, he played the part of God and he saved her. That's the same as like when Moses stood in the gap for Israel as the Spirit of Jesus Christ. But you notice how it is, even as Elisha used the Spirit of God wrong to curse the children, actually this person here did the same thing. That's why the whole world was thrown in bondage, and it doesn't accuse Eve, it says she was deceived, but it says by Adam's sin. Because he was not deceived, he was in the transgression. He knew exactly what he was doing. That's what you got to understand. And let me tell you today, this man, William Branham, understood exactly what he did and what he said and how he did it and why he said it. And he told us on different occasions, he says, I told you exactly what he told me to tell you. There was a black man in Oklahoma somewhere, I forget where it was. We were out there anyway, it might have been Tulsa, I forget. But anyway, this brother Branham said to the man, he told him what his disease and his problem was. The man got healed. And then he said, also, sir, he said, you have been backslidden. Let me tell you, God has forgiven you. And right away he caught people catching. And he said, listen, you've questioned why I said this man is forgiven. He said, the same spirit that told me to tell him what was wrong and he's healed told me to tell him that. Now, do you think people are going to believe that? Come on. They're not going to be there, brother, sister. There's no way they can do it. You see? And they can't pull away their sex veil of unbelief because they're wedded to Satan through their creeds and their dogmas in the church. It's always my church, my church. Listen, I don't care two bits about this place. Burn it down. I won't regret it. You know why? I'll feel sorry for you folk. But I can always preach to three people in my front room. Well, you want to crowd in, it's your business. I wonder what's a building got to do with it. This building wasn't dedicated to anything special. Lord, if you want to use it, use it. You want to burn it, burn it. But keep me with your word, O Lord, for your word endures forever. Your word is you, Lord. Absolutely. Notice she pulled the veil off. Now, look at in here about this, what Satan did here. Now, you go to God. There's a thought. It is written. It is spoken. It is manifested. Now, look at about Eve with her evil. There is a thought. It is spoken, it is received, it is manifested. See, same carry. Okay, she pulled the veil from off her eyes. What veil? That was the holy veil, see? The holy thing that God put over her eyes, she wanted knowledge to know what it was all about. So she pulled the veil off to see what it was all about. She listened to the devil and notice what a place it put her in. Now, what's he saying? The Word of God is our veil. When you put the Word of God on, you believe it as we believe from Vindicated Prophet, you are able to see the truth the way it is, and you keep within the truth. Now, it's not going to make you a perfect person. As long as you're in the flesh, you're no different from Adam and Eve. Listen, they went hopped right into sin. We've had 6,000 years of practice. So don't think for 1 minute you're going to be a perfect creature. You will be that when you're changed. The perfection that you have is not what you think. It is God's own righteousness that God gives to you at this moment that supersedes even the pattern of death, that you and I can walk out of here immortal. Oh, brother, sister, you're way beyond the beginning of the seventh church age. You're at the end of it. It's just a hairbreadth length. So she pulled the veil off to see what it was all about. She listened to the devil, and notice what a place it put her into. Well, it put her into a terrible condition. She got familiar with the beast. And if you want to know what that's like today, and I'm going to have to quit here because we run out of time, let me get you to 2 Peter here and see what the condition is in this hour. 1-14 in 2 Peter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, what does that tell me about this message? Everybody says in this message we believe a prophet, but they deny the presence. They say no to it. I want to ask you, who came down? What did he do when he came down? Is he here now? What's he doing? What's he going to do? How's he going to do it? The answers are all here. Oh, he's a doctrine. Something to think about. Hey, when we go to the bridge club tonight, we'll talk about this funny thing that happened down there in Mexico. You say, hey, they don't do that about Jesus. I'm making it easy for them. The Bible makes it worse. Listen, many shall follow their pernicious ways by reason of whom the way of truth shall be spoken of. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's a doctrine. With Brother Branham, he was a devil. That pillar of fire. Now he's a doctrine. Throw him back in the closet. Shut the door. And to covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. They will not stick with the prophet's message, whose judgment now a long time lingereth not, and damnation slumbers not. For God spared not the angels of sin, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, reserved unto judgment, spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, and a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world, the ungodly. Two worlds. Two worlds. One orbits around our God, who came down and still here. The other orbits around Satan. How do we know the difference? Go to the Word. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, condemned with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, that's like you and me, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment and punishment. That's what he said to Abraham. I won't just destroy the righteous with wicked, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, and they are not afraid to speak evil to dignitaries, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord, but these as natural brute beasts. Oh, brother Ben, I don't believe that. Well, you're nice, but you're too nice for me. You're Noah who had kicked the door off the ark and say, Lord, there's a mistake, bring him in. I'm not trying to be tough. I'm trying to show you something here. Do you believe the word of God? What kind of a God is it? Now let's get right down to the nitty gritty. What kind of a God is it that Brother Branham preached would love some and not love some? You're like the woman at the clinic if you say those things. She said, well, you may be a preacher. It may hurt your feelings. But she said, there can't be a God. On what grounds? Well, she said, don't tell me there's a God who lets little children die and this and that and every evil thing happen. I said, maybe you don't think like God thinks. You couldn't listen to her. She was so full of her own thinking, the doctor could not get across to her. She will die with her cancer. Unless her husband comes, slaps her face on both sides. She slaps her. Chum! I said, now, honey, that was in love. Shut up and listen. You're dying. That's right. You say, Brother Vail? Don't Brother Vail me. God has to whoop you and me the odd time. Shut up and listen. If not, we're mules. You got to hit them with a 4x4 to get your attention. We just act like mules. I know what it is to be called up short. If you're a child of God, you know too. Now listen, these are natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed. Peter, you scurvy, rotten dog. You have the guts to mouth off about no cunning fable when you stood there on the mount with that one that you said was glorified before you with Moses and with Elijah, and you heard God say, "This is my beloved son." What kind of a beloved son did you hear? Drop dead, you stupid, lousy, filthy jerk. My God would not say this, and my God would not do this. I want to ask you a question. What kind of a God have you got this morning? The God of Peter or the God of your imagination? I'm not being hard and dirty. I'm not condemning men. I am reading the Bible. I have nothing to do with this. And I got nothing to do with it now. My endorsement does not make it real. My lack of endorsement cannot change it. I want to ask you a question. Did Brother Branham, with "Thus saith the Lord," preach this? You bet he preached it. He preached 2 Timothy 3. He preached 2 Peter 2. He went right down the lines. I can take you can take my sermons. Every consideration I've given to Scripture concerning the presence and following through, you people know exactly where I'm going, so I know exactly where to go with Brother Branham. We're neither ignorant. We're not stupid. And he said, "These as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things they understand not, shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that counted pleasure to ride in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, they cannot cease from sin, are beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practice, cursed children, which have forsaken the right..." What are they? The church. Paul said, "You have left the truth." He's talking about the church. Talking about the woman. Following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozer, loved the ways of unrighteousness, was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with tempest, to whom the mist of darkness reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, allure through the lust of the flesh, much wantonness, those who were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overwrought, of the same is brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, again entangled, they overcome. The latter end is worse than the beginning. That's Hebrews 6. Come on, church. Come on, smarten up. It's Hebrews 6. You think it isn't? You think it isn't? Come on, I'll read it to you. Let's get the shocks over. Let's get the shocks going. It's impossible. Those who once were all enlightened, taste the heavenly gift, partake the Holy Ghost, taste the good word of God, the powers of the world to come, having fallen away, they cannot be renewed to repentance. They have crucified themselves, the Son of God, afresh. You say Paul speaks different from Peter? You say a scribe speaks different from a wise man, and a wise man from the prophet? How many Holy Ghosts you got? How many minds you got? There isn't any difference between the prophet, the wise man, and the scribe. Now do you see why Brother Branham said, if 10 people ever get the same mind in one place, there's a rapture. The big step is get back to the vindicated word. Never mind what you think. If the book says 2 and 2 make 4, and God says 2 and 2 make 4.5, you better say what God said. Now, he's not going to say 2 and 2 make 4.5. He's not going to say that. But we're talking about the senses. You see? Now listen. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they've known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. At the end time, the Apostle Paul's message comes back in definitive purity. That's where you get your rest and your relaxation. That's what makes the difference. But it happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog. He never was a sheep. Went to his vomit. The sow never was a sheep. Went to the wallow. The wallow and vomit of what? The perverted word. Time's run out. 5 minutes. I don't need it. I'll make a little mark here. Where was I? That's a good question. I don't know where I'm at. Okay. It was right here at the top. I'll mark the word here. We'll come back and start reading again on Wednesday. Now listen. I've said the truth. Just what Brother Branham said, I've embellished it on the grounds that I elaborated, which he said to the ministry. He said, you people, ministry, you take what I said, break it down, feed to the people. I'll just tell you one thing. If I'm off the word, you come to me and tell me that I've said something Brother Branham didn't say. If I'm not keeping your souls by the word of God, you've got every right to come and say, Brother Vail, you are not faithful. Paul said, I'm free from the blood of all men. I have not failed to deliver the full counsel of God's word. In other words, as I teach, I can only teach what God gives me that I'm liable for. I cannot teach beyond it. You cannot ask me things that I cannot know. But if I am faithful to what God gave me, as the prophet told me, I believe God gave you to me, as he gave Aaron to Moses to explain his message, so he gave you to me to explain me and my message. This is what I try to do. And to hold you with it. Because it's the only hope we've got, brother, sister. No age brought immortality by anything it did. This is what God does. The conditions are after. Let's rise and be dismissed. Time runs out. Heavenly Father, again we thank you for your goodness and grace to us, O Lord God, glory. And we know, Lord, that these are hard things the prophet said, but Lord God in heaven, if we cannot have an instrument of iron that breaks the flint and destroys the gates of brass, then there's no use having anything, because that's what we've got to have to bring down the strongholds of the enemy that have been in power for 6,000 years. So we can get out of this world, Lord God, and we know we're only going to get out of it if you, by grace and mercy, give us something somehow whereby we will be entitled to that righteousness and innocence that was in the garden, that we can walk to the tree of life and become immortal. Now, Lord, I don't know that I can prove I'm quoting the prophet and I've got the right understanding, but I believe I have, that Brother Branham brought us this word, and this is what we hold to without changing it, and this is what is going to do it in the realms of the spiritual, mysterious working of yourself. And I'm standing on a Lord that is Eve and Adam behind that word. That was everything they needed. They hadn't even begun to obey the whole thing. They were just being led into those things of obedience which were simple as ABC. Until it makes me kind of believe, Lord, and Brother Branham said, if you're pounding nails, you know he's coming, keep pounding nails. If Adam had kept numbering the beasts and Eve with him, he never would have got out of line. Help each one of us, Lord, to stand in the places you've ordained us, pounding those nails and clenching them in the gospel word, and going on in faith like Abraham, knowing there's nothing we could do. If we even tried to do it, wouldn't do any good. It's going to take you, Lord, to do it. And you have said you'd do it. Bring forth that promised Son in flesh in this hour, after the appearing of the Son of Man, the destruction of Sodom. In the meantime, we go to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Father, I believe that's the only way I can express it. I don't know what else I can say. If I'm wrong, Father, help me for the sake of the people, because I know if I'm saying wrong, I'm gone anyway. But at least I can be a gentleman enough to bring to the people a truth, Lord, if I don't even get it myself. But I'd want to have at least that much, to be an honest citizen, to be a decent person, if I couldn't be a righteous, upright child, the kingdom of God. At least I'd want to be a decent person, as Brother Branham said, to have some holy decency. And I pray for that, Lord, for respecting the people. I wouldn't want one person, Lord, to miss it today. And I pray, O God, that none of the people here that gather in your name in this place shall miss that, Lord, which you set before the people. Heal the sick amongst us, O God, and help each one to believe as never before, because we know that what you gave to the prophet is vindication. You never removed the blessings that follow the word. They're here for us. And if they're here, they're magnified, because the prophet said, that's what you do. You always make it greater. We're not looking for those things, Lord, that would accrue to us as though it made us something. But, Lord, we're looking to every single thing that's for us in this hour, at least we hope we are, so that all the benefits of your grace might be truly appreciated. Father, I would against preachers who make your appearing here just a doctrine, and then all the time turn my back on the things that people are going to have, like healing and those things that are for us. I would be, Lord, I believe a hypocrite to do that. The pot would be calling the kettle black. Not that we want to even go that far. But I want to be right, Lord, and I know that people want to be right. Hear our prayer this morning, Lord, and forgive us for every misconduct, every thought of unbelief, anything, Lord, that would separate us and separate the benefits of word from this people, Lord, who are going on with you. Let not one of us be lost. Let not one of us find ourselves in a place, Lord, where we wouldn't be if you just appeared right now before us. Here we are in church, the right place to be. May our lives be just that upright and honest and open. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.
Take the name of Jesus with you.